The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey there, it's Kona Gallagher, host of And Then They Were Gone and Day by Day True Crime Stories, and I'm here to bring you an amazing opportunity to win some incredible prizes, all for a good cause. Join the Texas Advocacy Project's The Big Game Football Squares Raffle on February 9th, 2025, and help support survivors of power-based abuse. For every $100 donation, you secure a square and a chance to win amazing prizes. You can choose from two exciting grids. The Hawaiian Paradise Grid offers a grand prize of a seven-night stay for two at a luxury resort in Oahu or the Big Island. Or play the Beachfront Mexico Grid for a chance to win a four-night, all-inclusive stay for two at a five-star Marival Luxury Resort in Banderas Bay or Nuevo Nayarit, Mexico. Your contributions help survivors understand their rights, navigate the justice system, and secure emergency protective orders. To participate, visit TexasAdvocacyProject.org and select your grid today. Don't miss out. Tune in to the Texas Advocacy Project's Facebook page on February 9th, 2025, during the game for live updates on winners. Prizes are awarded at the end of each quarter with the grand prize at the game's conclusion. So score big for a cause. Visit TexasAdvocacyProject.org to learn more.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
A 15-year-old girl had an argument with her father about her grades. It's a scene parents all over the world are likely familiar with, and one that is usually forgotten in a day or two. But when Katia Line had this argument with her father, Pat, on March 21st, 1997, it ended in tragedy. Within days, Katia was missing, and her father was dead. The Line family's world was completely turned upside down. Though police believed Katia was a runaway, they couldn't be sure she hadn't met with foul play. Nearly 30 years later, Katia's sister Tracy believes her sister is still out there and still wants her to come home. When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell you the stories of those who never came home. Today, I want to tell you the story of Katia Line. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you for joining us once again. I'm Kona.
And I'm Ethan.
And we're the husband and wife team behind this podcast. Each week, I tell you the story of an unsolved missing persons case. Ethan doesn't know anything about the case going into the episode, and he's here to provide his reactions and questions in real time, hopefully asking some of the same ones you have at home. I came across this week's story on Facebook. A missing persons page had shared Katia's flyer, and I was immediately struck by the fact that her father died just days after her disappearance. Surely that means that this case must have gotten a lot of attention at the time, I thought.
Yeah, you would think, right? You have a missing girl and a murdered father, like...
Well, I didn't say murdered. I just said that he died.
Oh, okay. Oh, that puts a very different spin on it.
That'll pull you in right there. But much like our last story on Byron Page, this one quickly disappeared from the public's consciousness. But to me, that's even more of a reason to cover it on the podcast. Before we get started, we've got a little news. There's been a lot going on in cases that we've covered in the past. There have been major updates in Aisha DeGree's case. She's been missing since 2000 from Shelby, North Carolina. I've done some social media updates, and then we re-released her episode last week with a little intro, which is basically like all I could record because I was still so sick. But we are working on a proper follow-up episode for that. So you can expect to see that pretty soon. Also, there's been an arrest in the Shane Donahue case. So we just found that just happened, you know, right before we recorded this. So not a whole lot's known about that, but we'll be covering that as well. And then there's also a lot going on in the Alexis Patterson case. So, and I haven't even gotten into all of that yet, but we're going to be busy. And of course, Mamta Kafle, the missing mom and nurse from our area, from Manassas. I am still very much involved in that. And I've been putting updates on TikTok. And for those of you who are not TikTok users, I've been uploading all of the videos onto a playlist on our YouTube channel as well. So if you want to keep up to date, like on a daily basis, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel or follow us on TikTok. We are ATTWGpod on both of those. We've also had a new member join us over on Patreon, so we want to give a big shout out and a thank you to Kim. Thank you so much for your support, Kim.
Thank you.
And remember, if you join us there on any level, starting at just $2 a month, you can get these episodes ad-free and a free copy of the ebook that I wrote. Now, with all that news and business out of the way, let's get to the story of Katia Line. Katia Marie Line was born on November 28, 1981, in El Salvador. When she was 3 months old, she was adopted by Pat and Trudy Line, who lived in Federal Way, Washington. Her sister Tracy was 5 when Katia joined their family at just 3 months old. Tracy and Katia grew up very close, and Tracy describes her sister as being reserved around new people, but once you got to know her, Katia had a wicked sense of humor. The two sisters seemingly had a fairly normal, happy life growing up. Tracy was a gymnast and state balance beam champion who won a scholarship to Seattle Pacific University in Seattle, about 30 minutes from the family's Federal Way, Washington home. But by 1997, the Line family was seemingly inundated with unfortunate events and bad luck. First, Pat and Trudy divorced after 27 years of marriage.
Ooh, wow.
While both parents stayed in Federal Way, Katia opted to move into an apartment with her father, with whom she had always been close. Now, I don't know the exact timeline of all of these events, but they all seem to have happened within a year or so of each other.
And at this point, Tracy is in college. So
yeah.
She's probably in and out of the house.
Exactly. Now, she is only half an hour away, so she's not super far.
So she's not residential at the college.
Well, she might. No, she is. She did live in Seattle.
Okay.
But, okay. You know, I'm sure she came back a lot.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So around the time of the divorce, Trudy also was diagnosed with breast cancer. And in March of 1997, she was still going through treatment when all of this was happening. While on the gymnastics team at college, Tracy tore a ligament, ending her gymnastics career.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, even worse, she lost her scholarship and was forced to drop out of college.
Oh, my God.
She stayed in Seattle for a while and supported herself by painting houses. Then, Pat lost his job at Boeing and became despondent. By March 1997, he had no savings and no car, having recently been involved in a head-on collision with a semi-truck.
Oh my God, like, this is just a string of really, really bad luck.
Well, in that case in particular, Pat was able to walk away from the accident, but his family believed that the car crash was not accidental. They believed that it was an attempt for Pat to take his own life.
Oh, wow.
With all of the stress going on in her life between her parents' divorce, her mom's cancer, and her father's possible suicide attempt, it's no wonder why Katia wasn't doing well in school at this time.
How old was she?
15.
15, wow.
She had previously attended school in Federal Way, but when it was time for high school, she switched to nearby Auburn High. Her father felt as though this wasn't working out for her, though, because again, like, her grades were suffering, and so he really wanted her to switch back to the local high school in Federal Way. So I don't know if he was concerned about the school or maybe the people she was hanging out with at the school, but his hope was that by switching schools, her grades would improve.
Gotcha.
Katya, like most high school students would be, was adamantly opposed to the switch. And on the evening of March 21st, the two argued about this. Though she was only 5'3", Katya had aspirations of becoming a model and was even attending modeling school in Seattle. It seems likely that high school simply wasn't that high on her list of priorities at the time.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, honestly.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, that age, 15, plus you're going through all of this stuff at home.
Yeah.
And you're trying to be, you know, an aspiring model. Like, yeah, I could see high school getting put pretty far down on the list.
Exactly. So, yeah, that seems completely normal to me. But unfortunately, we don't know if there was more to it than that. Though it hasn't been said that Katya was the type of teen who was running with the wrong crowd or getting into trouble, she certainly seemingly had a rebellious streak. She dyed her hair, pierced her nose, and even had a few tattoos.
Wow. Back in 97, like that was a big deal for somebody under 18.
No, it totally was. So she had the letter K tattooed on her ankle and three dots tattooed on her left hand.
What does that mean?
Oh, so we'll get into that in a second. But yeah, but back to what you were just saying, though. I mean, you know, we are right about Katya's age. Mm-hmm. And so growing up in the 90s, at least, you know, where I grew up in the suburbs on the East Coast, you know, I don't know, maybe it was different in Federal Way, Washington, but a 15-year-old having tattoos was far from the norm. And even a nose ring at that age would have been like mildly scandalous, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, I got pierced and tattooed the day I turned 18.
Yeah.
But, you know, like my parents never would have taken me any place to do that. And, you know, maybe I was a nerd in high school. I don't know. I didn't know of any places that would pierce or tattoo me being under 18 without my parents there.
Well, I knew a lot of girls who would go to the beach and get their belly button pierced.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because, you know, the belly button, you could also hide from your parents.
Right.
So, that was pretty common. And then, like, friends would also, like, pierce each other.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I was not dumb enough to do that.
Yeah, yeah. My friend tried to get me to do that one time. I was like, no, thank you. She tried to get me to pierce her, and, yeah.
Clothespin and ice cube?
All
right.
Yeah, we don't need to get into it. Now, that three-dot tattoo specifically has been the focus of a lot of conversation in this case over the years, as it was known at the time to be something of a gang symbol.
Okay.
Now, I've seen like Reddit posts and things like that saying that it was like an El Salvadorian gang or it was this or that. But from what I could find, three dots tattooed near the eye or on the hand is often a prison tattoo that means mi vida loca or my crazy life. And it doesn't seem to be associated with any particular gang, but more with like the gang lifestyle itself.
Mm, okay. So not MS-13 specific.
No. And like I mean, nothing like that. From what I could tell, like I said, some people have said that they have known it to be affiliated with specific gangs, but I wasn't able to find anything that said that. Katya had no known gang affiliations, so while it is a possibility that the tattoo was related to that, it could also be just a random stick and poke tattoo that she did with her friends as a general act of teenage rebellion.
Right.
I mean, it was three dots, you know, so like maybe they were just screwing around one day.
Yeah.
And that could have been, and I don't know which was first, right? The dots or the K on the ankle? Like the dots could have been, you know, a trial run before the K.
Yeah.
So let's get back to March 21st. Katya and her father have the argument about school, but it's not super clear what happens after that. I couldn't find a single source that said what went on for the rest of the night. Perhaps Katya stormed out of the house after the fight, or perhaps she went to her room and snuck out after. What we do know is that at some point that night, or perhaps early the next morning, Katya left.
And we know this how?
From Tracy, because Tracy is the one who actually found out that her sister was missing.
Okay.
So she happened to stop by the apartment that Katya and their father lived in the next morning on March 22nd. Like, she just stopped by to say hi. It was just something she did, you know, fairly regularly.
Do we have a rough time frame for when she stopped by?
No, I don't have a time, just that it was the morning.
In the morning, okay.
But when she came by, Katya wasn't there. Unfortunately, we don't know what Pat had to say about this, other than the fact that he and Katya had that argument the night before.
Mm-hmm.
in any of the interviews that I've found with Tracy, she doesn't go into detail about her conversations with her father about this. The first article I could find about this case was in the News Tribune from July 25th, 1997, 4 months after Katia's disappearance. In this article, it says, quote, "The next day, her dad discovered her missing from their Federal Way home. He filed a report with the Federal Way police the day after that," end quote. So in that regard, it kind of leaves Tracy out of
all of it.
All of it?
Yeah.
But it does say that Katia wasn't reported missing until March 23rd, so the day after Tracy stopped by.
Right.
Reporter Nancy Bartley interviewed Tracy for a Seattle Times article that was published a week later on August 1st. That's where we find out that she stopped by on the 22nd, but we aren't given any more details about what happened between that visit and Katia being reported missing to the police. The delay in reporting her missing does make me think that her taking off to go stay with a friend or something along those lines wouldn't have been super uncommon. We know for a fact that both Pat and Tracy knew that Katia was missing on March 22nd, and we can assume that Tracy would have told her mother, Trudy, as well.
Yeah.
But it seems as though they all thought Katia would come home, so they just gave her a little time.
I mean, maybe this is something that was common behavior with her.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because they don't say that explicitly,
right?
Ever.
Yeah.
But I have to believe that, you know, since they all knew she wasn't there, that they were just kind of thinking that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not like her dad is like, well, I know the police would tell me to wait, so I'm just going to wait.
Yeah. You
know
no, I mean? It doesn't seem like it was that at all.
Yeah.
But when she didn't come back home the next day, that's when they truly began to worry. After Katia was reported as a runaway, her friends and family gathered on March 25th to begin knocking on doors and handing out flyers in hopes of finding her and getting her to come back home. But that day, Katia and Tracy's father, Pat Line, died by suicide.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In addition to this being yet another devastating blow to the Line family, it also caused a lot of people to become suspicious.
Yeah, I mean, naturally. I mean, obviously, we know now that there was potential suicide or suicidal thoughts and behavior beforehand, but I'm sure that wasn't out yet.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, so everybody was thinking, why would a father kill himself just days after his daughter went missing? And many people believed it could have been due to a guilty conscience, that perhaps Katia didn't run away at all, that Pat did something to her and he simply couldn't deal with the guilt any longer. So, of course, detectives had to investigate this angle.
Oh, of course.
I mean, and I think that that's really what took this from a typical runaway case. I put air quotes around that term, but right. We're talking 1997.
Yeah.
Like when a 15-year-old runs away, which, I mean, by all indications, she did. Like she left the house of her own volition, from what it seems.
Right.
You know, it doesn't sound like the police really would have put a whole lot of work into that, you know, at least not initially. But once her father ends up dead, 3 days later,
right?
That's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, even from a police standpoint, just because there were suicidal tendencies beforehand, like you still have to investigate that angle, because who's to say whatever was happening that led to either some foul play or Katia leaving wasn't somehow mixed up in previous behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. So Detective Lee Letty told the News Tribune that they performed extensive interviews with family, friends, and teachers, and that they found, quote, absolutely no indication, end quote, that Katia had been abused prior to her disappearance. But in a trust but verify move, Detective Letty said that they had five cadaver dogs go out and search areas where Katia was known to frequent, but they found nothing. In that same 1997 article, Tracy says that her father had been filled with sorrow since her sister's disappearance, but was careful not to say that that was why he decided to take his life. Instead, she told the reporter, quote, "I wouldn't want to place anything like that on my sister," end quote.
Oh, yeah. 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 Like, I mean, if she's still out there having run away because of this fight or whatever, like, you can't sit there and say, put that in a news article saying, like, oh, yeah, my dad killed himself because my sister ran away.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then she reads the article or hears about it or whatever. And then it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, she's not going to come back then.
Yeah, definitely not.
So while police seemingly didn't find any evidence of foul play at the hands of Pat, police were definitely concerned about foul play in general. Detective Letty told the paper, quote, "We're very, very concerned for her welfare. Most kids that are runaways will generally contact a friend or a family member within days. They're usually not gone for more than a month," end quote. And, you know, keep in mind, by the time he's saying this, she's already been gone for like 4 months.
Right.
Yeah. Tracy had similar thoughts. All of Katia's friends had been telling the family that they hadn't seen or heard from her, but it doesn't sound as though Tracy 100% believed them. But she says that changed after her father's death. She said, quote, "I figured she could have been staying with friends, but after my dad died, I realized they were serious and sincere about not knowing where she was," end quote. And yeah, I mean, I think that's another thing. Like, a parent's death, you know, it's like, okay, you can let a friend crash at your house and maybe keep it a secret. But like, when somebody dies,
yeah,
that's when it's time to come clean.
It's definitely going to come out at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Detective Letty was seemingly of the same mindset. He said that investigators extensively interviewed Katia's family and friends and followed up the few leads they had, but were unable to turn up any substantial information. There were a few sightings reported in the months following Katia's disappearance, one in Midway, one in Puyallup, and one in Seattle, where she attended that modeling school. None of the sightings were confirmed, however. Detective Letty remained the lead detective on Katia's case until 2009, when he retired. However, he rejoined the detective unit in 2018 and was eventually reassigned to Katia's case. He said that as soon as her case came across his desk, that he didn't think it was a typical runaway case. In 2021, he told the Seattle Times, quote, "I can't tell you how many nights I spent driving the streets in Seattle or Tacoma, trying to see if I could catch a glimpse of somebody that was reported who might have looked like her," end quote. But other than those few unconfirmed sightings, no clues emerged in Katia's case.
So that's it?
I mean, for the most part, like, yeah, the initial investigation fizzled out. They didn't get any good tips or leads.
I mean, this is just wild to me. Like, she has a fight with her dad,
mm-hmm.
whatever, leaves the house, and then just disappears?
Yeah. And we covered a case a couple years ago of Danica Childs, who is from this area and, you know, was also a teenager, and she disappeared. But she had like a boyfriend type person she had met on a bus and had been talking to.
And there's like nothing.
There's like nothing like that in this case. Yeah.
Huh. I mean, it makes me wonder if, you know, her dad might have been right, and maybe there was some sort of either gang affiliation or something hanging out with her quote unquote wrong crowd that maybe her sister and parents didn't know about.
Right. And that's what I'm thinking too, because, you know, it said that she and her dad were really close. That's why she wanted to live with them.
Yeah.
So, and he was the one who was around her every day. Whereas, you know, her mom was still in town, but lived in a separate house.
Yeah.
I don't know how, if there was like visitation, I don't know what that arrangement was, but, you know, she wasn't with her mother on a daily basis, and her sister was in Seattle. So she wasn't with her on a daily basis either. So if there was something like that going on, if there was like a boy or something like that, her father might have known, but he died. Two days after he reported her missing.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I can think of, is that there was some type of relationship, not necessarily boyfriend per se or whatever, mm-hmm. but like friendship relationship, something going on. and she fled, ran away. I don't know. I don't know why, but, you know, she fled and ran away with them. That's the only thing that I can think of that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. And so while the police were conducting their investigation and having not much luck, Tracy continued to search on her own, sometimes with help from one of Katia's close friends, Alicia Tubbs. The pair handed out thousands of flyers at sporting events, talked to bus drivers, and searched late into the night, venturing into what Alicia called, quote, sketchy areas. But it was as if Katia simply vanished. Like I said in the intro, there wasn't a ton of media coverage on this. I found exactly three newspaper articles, two from 1997 and one from 2021. But according to that 2021 article, there wasn't a whole lot going on in the case during the intervening years. After Detective Letty's initial retirement in 2009, Federal Way Police asked a cold case team with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children to take a look at Katia's case. They wanted the group, made up of retired investigators, to look it over and be sure they hadn't overlooked anything during the initial investigation. However, even this set of fresh eyes seemingly didn't unearth any additional clues. NCMEC did, however, do an age-progressed photo of what Katia could possibly look like at age 30. In 2021, they updated it to what they believed she may look like at age 40. It was that year, in 2021, when Katia's family and friends gathered to celebrate her 40th birthday. They exchanged stories about the girl who had been gone longer than she had been with them. So what happened to Katia? Of course, the first thing that pops into most people's mind when they hear that a teenager went missing and her father died by suicide 3 days later is that he killed her and then himself. As we talked about earlier, though, the police investigated this theory, but they couldn't find any evidence to support it. So it doesn't seem as though Pat had anything to do with his daughter's disappearance, but we, of course, can't be 100% sure until she's found. Another theory is that she simply did run away and started a new life. Her family had broken apart, she wanted to be a model, and her dad was pressuring her into going to a school she had no interest in. Maybe she just decided that enough was enough and there was no reason for her to stay in Federal Way.
But at age 15?
I mean, plenty of 15-year-olds have run away.
And just completely vanished? Like, that's what I'm getting hung up on.
Yeah,
like, exactly. I know we've covered cases very similar to this, but it's always astounding to me when you have such a young person that just seemingly disappears, you know? And if the theory is that she left and started a whole new life, like, she didn't have a job. She wasn't even old enough to work at the time. Like, where does she get the money to find papers and create a different identity?
Yeah. I mean, I think that you can do a lot, especially in the 90s. You could definitely get work under the table and things like that. So I really don't think that money would have been like that big of a deal. My concern is more like the modeling aspect and that.
You think sex trafficking?
Yeah, maybe something along those lines. Yeah. Or even just a more basic predator.
Yeah.
You know, who said, yeah, I can help you out and didn't.
Yeah.
Or maybe somebody said he could help her out and did. I mean, honestly, we don't know at this point. But like the problem, too, with her, you know, just running off like that is that while I haven't seen anything about Katia's relationship with her mother, she was apparently very close with both her father and sister. And neither her friends nor her family believed that she was the type who would just cut ties with everyone in her life. The general consensus seems to be that if she had planned on running away, that she would have told somebody, or at the very least would have gotten in touch with someone at some point, even if it was only after she turned 18, for instance.
Yeah.
But there's also the fact that she didn't really take anything with her. She left basic items like her retainer and her social security card at home. It doesn't appear that she had packed a bag or anything like that. Another possibility is that Katia left on her own, but with plans of returning once she cooled off, but she met with foul play along the way somehow. Perhaps she was the victim of a random crime, or she was, in fact, like you said, hanging out with a rough crowd and someone who she knew did something to her. Also, if there was a secret boyfriend or a friend group that her parents or, you know, main friends didn't know about, then maybe something bad did happen and nobody knew who to ask. You know, so she did like have this whole group of friends, you know, whether or not they were involved in like gang activity or anything like that. If she just had this secret group of friends, which, you know, teenagers like have been known to have at points, especially, you know, when you live in one place, you're going to school in another place.
Yeah.
That when police were doing extensive interviews of friends and when Tracy was talking to everybody, there just could have been a whole group of people who they didn't know about. And who didn't choose to come forward for one reason or another. A variation of this theory is that Katia was planning on coming back, but found out about her father's suicide first and blamed herself. She then decided to stay away out of guilt.
Yeah, I mean, sure, I can see that at her age, but now she's in her 40s, you know, and even before that, you would think that at some point, she would have reached back out to her sister.
Yeah. Whatever the reason behind Katia's disappearance, both Trudy and Tracy believe she's alive out there somewhere. In 2021, Trudy wrote in a Facebook post, quote, "We hope Katia makes contact with us. We have always had hope, and I want her to be happy," end quote. Trudy hasn't spoken much publicly about her daughter's disappearance, and Tracy was the one who mainly keeps in touch with detectives and pushes for updates on her sister's case. This event obviously changed her life and led her toward a law enforcement path in an effort to understand cases like her sister's. In 1998, the year after Katia disappeared, Tracy spent a year volunteering with the Federal Way Missing Persons Unit. In 2000, Tracy moved to Oregon in an attempt to move on with her life. She went back to college and eventually got a job working in the records department at the Lane County Sheriff's Office. She also believes that Tracy is alive out there. In 2021, she wrote a Facebook post when the Seattle Times article I've been talking about came out. In it, she said, quote, "Please share this article far and wide. Daisy did a phenomenal job writing this story. Our goal, my goal, is to get any, and I mean any, information on Katia's location, no matter the circumstance. Also, if Katia has any children, please have them reach out. Thank you." End quote.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even think about that potential angle. Like, Tracy could have nieces or nephews out there.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's just no evidence pointing in any particular direction.
Right.
Because Katia went missing in 1997 before DNA was being widely used in law enforcement, and because she was adopted, I was wondering if any of the national databases had Katia's DNA. Fortunately, it turns out that Trudy had saved some of Katia's baby teeth.
Oh my God.
Yeah, can you believe that?
That's wild.
Uh-huh. And DNA was able to be extracted from them and entered into the database.
Wow. I mean, yeah, that's huge because you wouldn't even be able to use familial DNA.
No, exactly.
At this point.
Yeah. I mean, Trudy can't put her DNA into Ancestry and come up with anything.
Right.
And it doesn't sound like anybody really knows much at all, if anything, about her birth parents in El Salvador.
Wow. I mean, lucky that she kept those teeth for so long.
So far, no Jane Does have been matched to Katia. But if her sister is correct and Katia is out there somewhere, maybe with children of her own, there is a possibility of finding that DNA link.
I don't know much about this. Is there a way to enter DNA or use DNA via like Ancestry and or things like that for the familial DNA purposes or?
Yeah. So if you do Ancestry or 23andMe or any of those and somebody in your family uses the same service, then you can find a match that way. What people can also do is download their data from that site and upload it to a site called GEDmatch.
Okay.
And GEDmatch is a clearinghouse for all of the sites. And law enforcement do have permission to use the data on that site. And so that's been used for a lot of the familial DNA cases that we've been hearing about over the past couple of years.
And we just don't know whether that's been done yet.
No, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I mean, I just know that they've uploaded it to like the law enforcement databases. I'm not sure if it's in GEDmatch. I would imagine they would have done that as well, but I don't know specifically.
Okay.
Like most people with missing loved ones, Tracy says that not knowing is the hardest part because, quote, you don't know how to grieve, end quote. There's no grave to visit, no final words to hear, no chance to make amends. Just a hope that they're out there somewhere and okay. Katie has been missing for nearly 30 years, but there's always hope in these cases. Maybe someone who hears this or sees her picture could remember something. Maybe someone who didn't want to talk in 1997 will feel like talking now. Katia's family is still out there and they're still waiting for her to come home. Like her sister said, no matter what the circumstance. Katia Marie Line has been missing from Federal Way, Washington since March 21, 1997. She is a Hispanic female with brown hair and brown eyes. She has a mole above the right corner of her mouth, three dots tattooed on her left hand, and the letter K tattooed on her right ankle. Katia was last seen wearing a white t-shirt, a black and white flannel pullover shirt, blue jeans, and black boots. At the time of her disappearance, Katia was 5'3" and approximately 125 pounds. She was 15 when she went missing. She would be 42 today. Anyone with information regarding Katia Line's disappearance can call the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's 24-hour hotline at 800-843-5678 or the Federal Way Police Department at 253-835-6700. You can see all the sources for this episode along with photos and videos at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook and at ATTWG Pod on Instagram and TikTok. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by me, Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketsa. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!